This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
The waiting is over. USDA has delivered the annual production summary and the December 1 quarterly grain stocks report and the winter wheat seedings report and the supply and demand report that takes all of those other reports and boils it all down. Wow, if we've got the time, we've got all the details for you.
City USA, BFR Journal Broadcast. This is AgriTalk. It's just me and Chip today. But we kind of hope you'll call in too. 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524, or tweet us at hashtag AgriTalk. And we'll get right to your question. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Are you okay,
hey, buddy?
Is everything okay?
I just flew in from the other room, and man, are my arms tired.
Oh, my gosh, I love
what
it.
What happened? Did I miss anything?
I love it.
Huh?
Did you miss anything? No, everything's fine. Everything's good.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad to hear that.
We're fine. I got this text from, I don't know if he wants me to say it or not, so I'm just going to say somebody that has been on the show multiple times in the past.
Sounds suspicious already.
It says, maybe I should retire and concentrate on something else. That would be too much of a hint to some people. If you gave me the last year's worth of USDA reports the day before scheduled release, I would have lost money trading. This is crazy to me, or maybe I'm just crazy. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, this was a strange day, Davis.
Yes, it was. Very strange.
I'm telling you, this is awfully strong evidence that the market, just whatever that entity is, whatever that being is, the market, as Bubba would describe the market.
Right.
Doesn't give a crap about details. Just show me what the trends are year to year.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, because his take is interesting to me. If you're going to single out Todd Bubba Horowitz, because he's saying by the time it makes it to the average schmo, like you and me read it in the headlines and see it on TV or whatever, or digest the reports, somebody's already figured it in.
Yeah.
So why trust it?
Yeah, it's astonishing to me.
It's an interesting...
Absolutely astonishing.
I still want to talk to him more about that whole thing. I don't quite get it.
Well, I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is we need to watch what's going on with these global carryover trends. Mm-hmm. Not so much the specific number, but the trends.
There you go.
We need to watch the trend in U.S. carryover. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take all the pieces that were delivered for corn today, it's tough to find a number that you go, oh, wow, no, that's bullish. But doesn't change the fact that the month-to-month trend in carryover is down. Was it as down as much as what the trade was expecting? Not nearly as much. Mm-hmm. Not nearly. Missed it by 135 million bushels, I think it was.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the trend is down. And I'm telling you, this is one of the strangest S&D reports that I've had to deal with. When we break these things down and try to get the information out to pro farmer members as quickly as we can, some of us have our different roles that we take on. And one of the things that I do is take a look at the domestic S&D tables that we get and point out where the changes were. Well, one of the things that you do just right off the bat to make sure that there weren't any revisions to previous years, okay, is you check those beginning stocks. And when the beginning stock, when I looked at the beginning stocks for the 2019-20 marketing year, when I looked at the beginning stocks on corn, I had to look at it for about for 2-3 minutes before I realized, wait a minute, those aren't the same numbers. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the one is quite a bit more than 100 million bushels higher than the other. We had a big-time adjustment to September. I think it's big-time anyway. A big-time adjustment to the September 1 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
It really surprised me that we saw that big of a move. Now, as we talked about with Steve Fried on Wednesday, as we talked about with Arlen Suderman yesterday, there was kind of a consensus based on the supply and demand and the feed and residual number on corn, and in particular the residual component of the feed and residual category, that that it appeared very likely that USDA had overestimated the 2018 corn crop,
mm-hmm.
maybe by as much as 300 million bushels. Well, they confirmed that for us today. It wasn't 300 million bushels. It was 80 million bushels. But they took 80 million bushels off the supply side and still increased carryover for 2018-19 by 107 million bushels by taking, I think it was 186 million bushels out of the feed and residual category for the 2018-19 marketing year. That's a revision to the September 1 stocks. That doesn't happen, not to this degree, that often.
Okay.
And so when you see it, you got to start thinking, okay, what are they really, really trying to accomplish here? And I think I've got an idea of what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Ooh. You're not going to tell us right now, are you?
Well, not right now.
Okay.
Not right now.
Excellent.
Yes. Let's go ahead and at least go through how the market's closed.
Sure thing. Well, let's start with the wheat. As always, March hard red futures 4.5 cents higher, 4.94¾. March soft red futures firmed 2.25 to 5.64½. March spring wheat was up 6.5 at 5.58¼. Chip.
Yes. Go ahead.
You just want me to run them down?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. March corn futures 2.5 cents higher, 3.85¾. July corn firmed 2¾ cents to 3.99½.
Right.
December 2020 corn closed at 4.02¾, up 2¾. Nice to see $4 holding there. March bean futures 2.5 cents higher, 9.46. July beans up 2¾, 9.71. November 2020 beans, 9.74¾. That's up 3¼ today. On the livestock side, February cattle futures 7 cents higher, 127.42½. April cattle up 65 cents, 127.95. And March feeders gained 90 cents to 147.45. And on the snout side, February hogs were 22.5 cents higher at 67.25, and April hogs were 35 cents lower, 74.12½. Chip.
Okay, we've already had a caller with a question.
Hey, great.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for today.
I wish this caller, I mean, we can see your phone number. Go ahead and stay on there so that we can have a conversation. But he calls up and he kind of tosses a grenade out the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he wants to know how the USDA numbers stacked up to what we estimated in the third week of August.
That seems like a fair comparison.
As far as yields go, USDA Pro Farmer was at 163.3 bushels per acre on corn. Mm-hmm. And 46.1 bushels per acre on soybeans back in the third week of August. Not that anything had changed since then.
2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hello, Ross. Tell me a little bit about that commitment to developing new solutions.
We've become one of the best innovators in the industry because of the resources we invest to keep our R&D engine humming. On average, we spend over 10 years and nearly $280 million to develop novel seed treatment molecules. Our current new product lineup and pipeline are truly tremendous.
Thanks, Ross. We'll hear more from Ross next week, but for more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Calling all farmers and ag professionals, want to maximize return on investment for every acre on the farm? If so, now is the time to register for the Precision Ag Workshop at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Join me, AgriTalk's Chip Flory, to learn how precision ag data can boost bottom line profits and wildlife habitat. Enjoy farmer-led panel discussions and interactive breakout sessions. Register now at pheasantfest.org for the Precision Ag Workshop presented by John Deere on February 14th at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season.
All right, welcome back. We are going to be going through some of the details and some of the interesting little highlights from the supply and demand, quarterly grain stocks, annual production summary, and winter wheat seedings reports.
True statement.
I was talking about those big-time trends that matter. And maybe the market just doesn't care about the details and goes straight to the bottom line on some of these on some of the big issues because of the way that the market performed today. It's hard to find numbers in here that are bullish. I mean, beans were firm today, but the 2019-20 carryover projection was 50 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. You would think that that'd be good for a little bit of pressure on the bean market until you take a look at the global ending stocks estimates. Now, this is without China. Okay, we can look at it both ways, but I'm not going to include China in this.
Okay.
The bean carryover projection is 76.94. That is up from 76.23 that was estimated in December. But compared to 2018-19, it's down from 90.8. So a big drop in the in global bean stocks there. That, I think, is part of the reason that we do have an opportunity for some 950-plus new crop bean prices. Taking a look at wheat, again, without China, the 2018-19 marketing year was 138.3. Now we're looking at 140.6. So up just a bit there. And then on corn, A year ago was 110.07. This year's 98.74 million metric tons.
Okay.
On the carryover without China in there. Now, on corn, I am going to throw China back in there. Okay, for just a second. A year ago, it was 320.39. This year, it's 297.81. Just call it 200 million bushels.
Right.
Or 200 million metric tons. 200 million metric tons. That is not what was indicated by China, you know, when we try to figure out what is going on and what they're doing with their E10 program going forward. Right. Hey, we got a special caller.
Yes, we do.
Yes, I'm so glad that he picked up the phone. Lance Honig, the chief of the crops branch at USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. Lance, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Chip. Happy to talk to you today.
Good, good, good. Lance, I want to go back to the 2018 numbers and the revisions to the September 1 stocks number that we got today. Where was the incentive to do that?
Well, you know, just like we normally do with soybeans, we stepped back and took a look at the balance sheet now that the marketing year is complete. Obviously, it was complete back in September. We've been looking at it since then. And, you know, when you looked at that feed and residual, it's a number that gets backed out. You take everything else that you've got that you've measured, and that's what you're left with. And it was bigger than what we've seen historically. You look at livestock inventory numbers, and it just didn't really seem to fit. So we said, let's go back through and let's take a look at production. Let's take a look at stocks. Those are the items we can control. And let's see what the data says. Is there room to move some things around to get that back in line a little bit better? And so that's what we did.
Okay. And, boy, it looks to me like what is underway, and I'm talking World Board stuff now, Lance, so if you don't want to make a comment on this, that is perfectly fine. But it looks to me like what has happened is through the adjustment to the 2018 corn crop, the cut to the 2018-19 feed and residual demand, which was a significant cut, ended up being an increase in carryover or those September 1 stocks. But all of a sudden, the feed and residual usage numbers all start to make more sense. You go back to the 2017-18 year, here we are at 5.3 billion bushels. 18-19 on feed and residual, 5.432 billion bushels. For the 2019-20, it's now projected at 5.525. So we're seeing that growth that corresponds with more and more animals on feed, and I think the World Board has gone through an effort here to try to make that feed and residual number make more sense. Do you think I'm reading too much into that?
Well, I mean, you know, that is something they did. We don't work together on that aspect of things, but I mean, I think that speaks to the point that obviously we were going back and looking at 18, we were looking at a situation there, but we know it's got a spillover effect. And that's part of the reason we thought it was important to take a look at that, because it's not really just a one-year issue.
Right.
Anything you've got, it all works across years. And so it just didn't quite fit. And so, you know, we made an adjustment to production. We made an adjustment to the ending September stocks. And, you know, between the two of them, it got us a pretty decent move on the residual. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're in better shape.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Adding a bushel to that national average corn yield, but you took, what, 300 and some thousand acres off the harvested acres. I'd been saying all week that the trade anticipating a cut in harvested acres and a drop in yield was maybe asking a little bit too much. I thought it was going to be a cut in harvested acres and a steady number on the yield, but evidently the late numbers, the late year yield estimates from the farm side of things, they held up, huh, Lance?
Well, that's right. And, you know, like we talked about last week, when you survey, you know, a large number of producers and they give you actual harvest results, It just is what it is. And what we found is that yields were just even a little bit stronger than what we had found, speaking to smaller groups of farmers throughout the year, a little bit better than what we found with our objective yield, but not substantially different. It all ties together. And so all things considered, you know, that's a pretty good yield, but with the acres coming out, pretty much flat on production.
Yeah. You're going to resurvey on acres, right?
That's exactly right. Five states, corn and soybeans, both corn and soybeans in three states, just corn in two. We haven't done that since 2010 for the 2009 crop. If you make a comparison there, kind of a similar amount of acres still left. But when you do a re-interview this time of year, you can't really set the timing yet because we have no idea when the farmers are going to be able to finish harvest. Right. So we'll play that part by ear a little bit. Once we see they're able to get out there and kind of finish things up, then we'll get back out there and get re-in touch with them. We're going to talk specifically with the farmers that we talked to in December who told us they had acres still left to harvest. So we're going to go back and ask about those same acres and find out what actually happened, see how that compares with what they reported as, you know, they think those acres are going to come out like. And if that new data says we need to make any changes, then we'll certainly do that and publish that later this spring as well.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Where's this? Oh, here we go. Trade was expecting winter wheat seedings at 30.664 million. We got 30.804. So the actual number from you came in about 140,000 acres above the average pre-report trade guess, but it's off 355,000 acres from a year ago. There's lots of questions about the condition of that crop, what cattle prices are going to do to the harvestability of that crop. You know, if they go out and just decide to graze at Lance, when do we get the next acreage updates there for winter wheat?
Well, at the end of March, we're going to get another update on the planted acreage, but we're not going to see a harvested estimate until May.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little while before we really get a measure on, you know, how much of that crop's going to actually be able to be harvested for grain. But, you know, you talk about the comparison between the average guess and where we're at, pretty much right in line. I'd say 100,000 acres is pretty much spot on with what they were thinking. So
yep.
I don't think there's a whole lot of question about that. But like you say, the question mark really is not around how many acres are planted. Folks are already starting to ask that question about what kind of shape might it be in come spring. And that's a good question, and we'll certainly get into that here a few months down the road.
Yep, yep. Well, today was a big day. A lot of survey work was compiled and put out the door today, Lance. Thank you for that work. But, boy, not much time to take a break. What's the next big survey coming?
Well, you know, they're always rolling out. We've got all kinds of organics work going on. We've got livestock surveys going on. And as far as crops is concerned, the hits keep coming. We got county-level estimates coming out here in the not-too-distant future. We got prices. We got values. We got all kinds of information. There's never a dull moment when it comes to crop estimation.
That is so true, Lance. Lance, thank you for picking up the phone and giving us a call. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Take care, Chip.
You bet. That is Lance Honig, the chief of the crops branch at USDA NAS. USDA NAS. Boy, that was a nice surprise there.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate that. We'll be back with more details of the USDA reports next.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us right now. Dan, what's the market move? The better's most today.
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at March corn futures today. After breaking down from its spring highs, the March corn contract traded between $3.65 per bushel and $4.12 and through late summer and fall. Improved export hopes and suspicions of a downward revision to the 2019 harvest estimate had pushed it above 40-day moving average in mid-September, but it wasn't able to challenge the $4 level and sagged as today's reports loomed. Traders sold aggressively after the data release, which saw March dive below the 40-day EMA all the way down to 376.5. That sure looked like the start of a bearish move, but bears couldn't sustain the pressure and had to watch as it came all the way back and closed up 3 cents at 386.5. From both a technical and pragmatic standpoint, today's action was pretty encouraging.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Dan. Have a good weekend, buddy. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other experience in agriculture.
The things you see here, it's all the newest, latest, greatest. Somebody here is going to take care of you no matter what size farm you are. So I say a regional farm show is like a high school championship football game. It's very cool. Everybody's excited. This is a Super Bowl.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back. Glad that you could join us on this report day in January.
Yeah.
2019. Yeah, it's literally the biggest just, you know, rollout of survey data,
yes,
that we get from Lance's group every year, the biggest one-day rollout of the data. So it's pretty cool. I don't know. Yeah, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed today, Davis, because
yeah, sure.
We can't forget that the market performance, like it's been, we've already said it a couple of times, it was tough to find an estimate in the reports that came out today that was really, you know, clear-cut supportive for prices. So let's recap things.
Yeah, markets kind of traded as though it was just a regular day. March hard red futures 4.5 cents higher, 494.75. March soft red futures up 2.25 to 564.5. March corn futures were 2.5 cents higher at 385.75. December 2020 corn closed at 402.75, up 2.75 cents. March soybeans 2.5 cents higher, 946. Novi beans 974.75, up 3.25 today. On the livestock side, Feb cattle futures 7 cents higher, 127.42.5. March feeders gained 90 cents to 147.45, and Feb hogs were 22.5 cents higher at 67.25. And by the way, I do have just a brief update on fuels and fertilizer prices this Friday.
Very good.
If anyone's interested, we're going to be talking about a much similar situation. So I thought we'd take a look at the quarterly numbers today. Just real
quarterly
quickly.
Numbers today.
That's right.
Cool. Coming up at the end of the show. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Give us a call if you've got any questions. 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with hashtag AgriTalk in it. Again, back to the overall trends that have developed in the market. Oh, by the way, what we talked about in the first segment with those changes to the 2018 crop and changes to the feed and residual estimates for corn that were delivered, that's what I was talking about when I hit that with Lance there, that it looks to me like the World Board has just done a reset on the feed and residual numbers. And now all of a sudden, instead of jumping all over the place, because don't forget what it was, you know, the USDA's feed and residual number, because of that grain stocks number that we got back in as of September 1, we can't forget that feed and residual in the December report was like 5.6 billion bushels. Well, they brought it down to 5.4. And now all of a sudden, the last 2 years plus the projection for this year, we go 5.3 to 5.4 to 5.5. I really believe what they did was they hit the reset on the feed and residual and just trying to make it make more sense and line up with the livestock numbers that we've got out there a little bit better. So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I thought it was one thing that Lance said I thought was interesting, and maybe you can correct me if I didn't hear this correctly. But part of that resurvey is going to be specific acreage that they had encountered before that was having difficulties, and they're going to go back to those acres, those specific acres, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. They're going to, and in specific states is really what that means.
Okay.
So, and you know what? I hope you're not out there thinking, oh yeah, well, when they do the resurvey, that's when we're going to get really figure out just how many acres we've lost. Resurveys will fine tune numbers. They don't create wholesale changes. So please don't be expecting that.
Okay.
The other thing that I thought maybe Lance was going to mention when what's up next is the survey work for the end of March. I don't know if it's the third, you know, exactly what day it falls on, but the prospective plantings report at the end of March. That's spring for NASS and the survey work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a new beginning. That's getting rid of the old crop and taking a look at the new crop for the first time on what producers are anticipating they will do. People talk about good riddance to 2019. Hello, 2020. Let's make it better. I think that attitude is probably the same at NASS. This 2019 was such a struggle trying to figure out exactly what's going on. And Lance obviously is confident in the numbers that they've generated. Okay, another one of those major trends that we try to watch on a regular basis is stocks to use ratio for the domestic numbers.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Okay. So for wheat, the reason I'm starting with wheat is because, you know, it's just kind of ugly.
Okay.
It is. Yep. I mean, it's 45.1%. And I say that's ugly, but here's the deal. You know, it's always high for wheat. It's always high for wheat. It doesn't mean that the carryover at 965 is negative. It just means that we're dealing with a typical load for wheat. And it's really kind of, think about it, Davis. There's 365 days in a year.
Okay.
45.1% stocks to use ratio means that we've got about 165 days of wheat in the bin, in storage, in reserve.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Okay. Next on the list of the major crops that I watch, cotton comes in at 27.7%. Again, it sounds big, but that's kind of the number the cotton has gotten used to dealing with. Next on the list is corn at 13.4%, and then down to soybeans with a stocks-to-use ratio at 11.9%. But I would argue that the corn stocks-to-use ratio at 13.4% is more supportive for price than soybeans at 11.9%. Reason being, it's becoming less of a reason for this because of all the corn production out of South America. But if the U.S. is going to be the first supplier of corn to the world, and that we can get that back. You know, people talk about, oh, no, we've got this huge crop coming out of South America. 75% of the Brazilian production is second crop corn.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been planted yet. Okay, so we don't know what that corn crop is going to be down there yet. We've got our ideas that it's 90 million tons plus, but we don't know that for a fact. You can't know that. So if the demand does come back to the U.S., which they took another 75 million out of the export estimate for the 2019-20 marketing year, it's just like, wow, 1.775 billion bushels is all we are expected to export in the current marketing year for corn. But if that demand comes back, we start to whittle away at this 13.4 very quickly. You get it right below 11.5%, 12%. You get it into that range, and sellers become much more hesitant in that corn market. You work it under 11.5 and start getting it in down towards the single digits, then it really kind of is a bullish scenario for corn. On soybeans, because we've got the U.S. supply, we've got the Brazilian supply, we've got Argentine supply, we've got a new crop coming every 6 months. It's been fairly consistent. You've really got to work that stocks-to-use number on soybeans south of 8% before you really get too bullish on it.
Okay.
So sitting at, just call it 12% versus corn at 13.5%.
Yeah.
I'd take the 13.5 in corn versus the 11.9 in soybeans as slightly more friendly for the market.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So what else did you see? Did you see anything? You know, we talked with Lance about the winter wheat seedings number. Had a conversation this morning with Roy Huckabee on the morning show.
Oh, did he call in? I had to step away. I was doing stuff for Lance stuff. Couldn't be there.
Yep. I asked him to call in because, and many of you know his name. Roy is at the Lynn Group.
He's awesome.
Today's his last day. I said, listen, you can call in either during the morning show or call in during the afternoon show, but I wanted to publicly thank Roy for, it turns out it's 46 years.
46?
46 years. The better part of five decades he has been involved in this business. Mm-hmm. He taught me a lot early on in my career about how markets are intertwined. Okay. So of course, since I had Roy on the line, I said, now tell me, which number are you going to watch most closely? And, you know, I figured it was going to be grain stocks,
right,
corn stocks in particular. That's where people have been going to. And he went straight to the winter wheat seedings.
Huh.
I was like,
isn't that interesting?
Well, and the reason that he went to winter wheat seedings is because, listen, we need to see how much of the crop is going to be seeded, because it's going to make a difference on how much of the crop is going to be harvested. And that harvested percentage is going down every day because of what's going on with the crop down there. It's come out of dormancy. It's put on some growth. If it puts on too much growth, with these cattle prices the way they are, guys are going to run cattle back out on that wheat, graze it, and market that wheat, you know, quote unquote, market that wheat through much more valuable cattle than by letting that crop mature and harvesting it this summer. That's
gonna
the
march
kind
it
of stuff
the
I'm going to miss from Roy. It's just such forward thinking. Roy, congratulations.
Yes.
My gosh, 46 years in the business. You deserve it. Enjoy the change in life. Don't slow down. I know you won't. Really appreciate everything that you've done for us and for the time that you spent on AgriTalk. Thank you so much. We'll be back with more and the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report in a moment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Commodity Classic is a great place to recharge your batteries, to reconnect with why you started farming in the first place, and why you can't imagine doing anything else. You'll be among thousands of farmers who share your thirst for knowledge and your passion for agriculture. Commodity Classic is a positive, uplifting, and inspiring environment, one that will keep you fired up when you head back home. See your future clearly, Thursday, February 27th through Saturday, February 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think of the seasons of agriculture, you naturally think of planting and harvesting. I would also point out there is a learning season. It's coming up. It's just ahead for you producers. And there's an excellent opportunity to learn at the Farm Futures Business Summit. It'll be at the end of January at Coralville, Iowa. The theme this year is 2020 Clear Insights for a Profitable Future. It's the Farm Futures Business Summit, Coralville, Iowa. Go to farmfuturessummit.com for information.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. unbiased, and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Okay, welcome back. What more do you need to know? You need to know some details, some very specific stuff here. Okay, ready?
Okay.
We're going to do this kind of quick.
Lightning round.
I'm Chip. Yeah. That's Davis.
Yes.
Okay, on the annual production summary, USDA raised U.S. corn crop estimate by 31 million bushels from November. It's still 179 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. On soybeans, it was up 8 million bushels from November compared to the average trade guess. The average trade guess was 46 million bushels below the crop estimate of 3.558 billion bushels.
Mm-hmm.
On the quarterly grain stocks, corn at 11.389 billion bushels was 122 million bushels smaller than traders expected. On the soybeans at 3.252 billion bushels, 66 million bushels higher than the average trade report, pre-report trade estimate. And on wheat, 1.834 billion bushels, 76 million bushels smaller than the average pre-report trade guess. Now, on the winter wheat seedings, we talked about that, 140,000 acres above the average pre-report trade estimate. It's down 355 from last year. Much of the difference, it's a split here, though, okay? SRW acres are expected to be up 439,000 from a year ago, which is 522,000 more than expected.
Oof.
Okay? And then in HRW country, down 658,000 from year ago, 286,000 less than traders expected. So, and then white wheat acres down 130,000 from a year ago. So if you're looking for a reason why the SRW and the HRW spread might come in, it's because the SRW acres are 500,000 above trade expectations and the HRW acres came in almost 300,000 less than trade expectations. So watch that spread. Carryover corn, 1.892 billion bushels, 18 million, down 18 million bushels from last month, 135 million bushels above the average trade guess. Soybeans, 475 million bushels, 50, that was unchanged from last month, 51 million bushels higher than the trade guess. Wheat, 965 million bushels. Let's see, that is down 9 million bushels from last month and 4 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess.
Okay.
There's all the basic details. Let's get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
Give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh, yeah.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Bazinga.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. You know, as with some of the market action we observed this week, fertilizer markets were extremely quiet this week. I've heard some rumblings from sources that I don't know if I necessarily trust as gospel. Right. That fertilizer prices are set to rise. We've seen a little bit of strength in wholesale urea. We've seen phosphate producers begin to strategize in their prevent defense kind of a strategy here, trying to maintain their margins and, gosh, perhaps even encourage some higher margins. What that means to you is lower production. So there is some upside risk. It's just not being expressed in the fertilizer markets this week. Example, anhydrous ammonia down 3 cents on the week. Let's look at who led declines here. UAN 32% led declines across the fertilizer segment, down 12 cents per short ton on the week. Okay, Everybody's holding fairly steady, and most of the change comes from the I states, from Iowa, actually. But obviously those changes were very, very mild, and many states were unchanged. Diesel is unchanged, which kind of surprises me. Now, with this Iran stuff, we begin to look at diesel very carefully. We're watching these markets very closely. But we've been watching, you and I both. Let's talk February crude. Today, down 55 cents at this point, 59.01, down below that $60 mark. Heating oil futures, this is incredible to me because I may have to change my outlook despite tension with Iran.
Really?
Because I had us booking 50% of our spring diesel. Still, I feel like was a good call, but doggone it. From last Friday, would you care to guess the price change in the front month heating oil contract since last Friday?
Oh.
1 week ago.
No, I don't.
No?
I'll
tell you. I'll tell you what it was. Down 13 cents in the February heating oil contract, down a cent and three quarters, call it 2 cents, to $1.93 today. Quite the deal. So, you know, and like I said, when we hooked into that 50% of spring diesel, look, maybe the market goes up. Maybe the market goes down. Either way, we still win because we've still just got half to book. So we're going to let her run just a little bit. All told, our Nutri Composite Index was off 0.06 on the quarter. I promise quarterly numbers quickly. Anhydrous off 2.14%. Phosphates off about 4.5% on the quarter. Urea led declines on the quarter off 6.5%. All told, Nutri Composite Index down 4.27% on the quarter. I like where we're headed, but we're going to keep an eye on it. Chip.
Very good. Very good. At Josh Mansky. Josh H. Mansky said, any thoughts on Iowa's 198 bushel corn average?
Yeah.
That's up 2 bushels from a year ago.
Yeah, I know. We did okay.
I don't know how we did
here,
it
though.
In the state.
It wasn't nearly as bad as it was elsewhere here. I think that's got to be it.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, it surprises me that Iowa ends up at 198 bushels per acre. Still 4 bushels below the 17 yield, but still. Yeah. Really impressive. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, January 16th through the 20th. The cold temperatures are pushing in from the northwest, making their way into Illinois and Missouri. Above normal precipitation expected over the entire region. We got time. Let's do it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by The Hurting. It's a cold, cruel world out there. Sometimes life hurts. And now today's tweets. Here's some examples, Chip. At Farmer Bob Northwest Mo, hashtagged it pro tip. When getting chocolate milk at a convenience store, don't be in a hurry and grab the wrong one. Fat-free chocolate milk sucks. At Goddess of Grain, someone want to check on the not a matter of if it's bullish, only by how much guy?
Yeah.
And at Ted Hamer 1, show me on the wallet where the WASD hurts you. Come on, Ted.
All right. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Hey, on Monday morning, we've got Machine Repeat, and Monday afternoon, Rich Nelson from Allendale. He'll put this all in perspective. Have a great weekend.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
In today's uncertain ag environment, it can be easy to lose your focus. At Commodity Classic, you can sharpen your vision for the future of your farm. With insight from well-known thought leaders in agriculture, eye-opening innovation and technology, and the sheer energy of being around thousands of positive, talented farmers, there's no doubt the 2020 Commodity Classic will help you see your future clearly. Plan now to be in San Antonio, February 27th through 29th. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.